I'll have to skip over Zacharias' praise and prophecy. I like being able to do that, but we're a little bit short on Sundays this year, so we'll have to look at that another time. I want to go to Luke chapter 2 and go right to where Becky read for us just a moment ago. And if you would, with me, when you found Luke chapter 2, please stand if you're able as we honor the Word of God, and I read just a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 2, and starting in, got to pick one, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You may be seated. Am I the only one who hears Linus every time you read that passage? Every time I read that passage or hear it read, I was like, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." God bless Linus. I tell you what, Linus has probably preached the gospel to more people than anybody except Billy Graham. So thank God for Linus. Oh, Luke chapter 2, going back to verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days," in the days when all these angelic visits were taking place, in the days when Elizabeth had given birth to John, and in the days when Mary is carrying Jesus, and everything that's going on, "in those days it came to pass that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria." That's a word, isn't it, Becky? That is a word. Anyway, how would you like to have that as your name? Hey, Quirinius. You bet he got nicknamed, I'll bet you. Anyhow, "This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." So in other words, while all of these angelic visits are happening, and while God is setting in motion his plan to bring the Messiah into the earth, basically the world is carrying on business as usual. They have no clue. They have no idea. It is completely missed and absolutely unknown in the halls of Jerusalem and in the halls of Rome that the Messiah is on the way. It's just business as usual. And in business as usual, the Caesar, the Roman Caesar, wanted all the world to be registered. Why? "I want to know where everybody lives so I can take their money." Okay? That's what that was about. And so Augustus calls for a census of all the world. Now, obviously not all the world as in all seven continents, but the known world at that time, he ruled it. He ruled the known world at that time. And so he calls for a worldwide census for the purpose of taxation. I will add, without representation. Very much without representation. "And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." So life as usual is continuing to happen, and world events are continuing to happen. And this is a fairly big world event. A worldwide registration, that's a pretty big event. And in the midst of seeming chaos, because if everyone has to go to his own city, his hometown, where he grew up, where his family lineage is, well, that means that a lot of people have to leave where they live, wherever that is, because just like now, you know, if you go to Ohio, you have a lot of people that live in Ohio, but they're from here, or Indiana, but they're from here, their family's from here, they have grandpa and great-grandpa were from here. All those people would have to leave and come here. And there would be people who are here that would have to leave and go to Pennsylvania or California. So there's a lot of hustle and bustle and chaos, seeming chaos, going on, which does not sound unlike this time of year right now, right? No place like home for the holidays, right? The traffic is terrific. The people are coming and going, and it's pretty nuts. And anybody who's been in a store recently knows just how nuts it is. All right? I was in Lowe's and Food City yesterday, and it's pretty crazy, okay? But anyway, in other words, things were no different then than they are now. Governments were going back and forth with each other. You know, Herod didn't like Pilate. Pilate didn't like Herod. Caesar was Caesar, but you can bet there were people underneath Caesar that wanted to be Caesar. And people were going back and forth with each other in the halls of government then, as they are now. Okay. Was no different because the sin nature of man has been the same since the Garden of Eden. And so there was a lot of upheaval going on as Jesus is preparing to make his entrance into this world. So if you feel like you're having a lot of upheaval in your life, it's okay. That's okay. Mary and Joseph were experiencing a lot of upheaval. Think about it. Look what it says. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child, who was very much with child. Now, sometimes, you know, I don't know how much some people appreciate this if they don't understand where Nazareth is in relation to Bethlehem and the means of travel in the first century. Nazareth is about 70 miles from Bethlehem. And we are not talking about a parkway at 70 miles an hour and you didn't even have to stop for coffee and you're there. We're talking about 70 miles on foot, on donkey back or horseback, or maybe a cart. You know, the description never says there was a donkey. It's quite probable that there was, but it could have been a hand cart. Mary could have been in a cart and Joseph pulling that thing. We don't know, but it was 70 miles probably on foot for Joseph over mountainous terrain that rises and falls, and it's dangerous. There's a lot of people on the road, and there's also a lot of thieves along the road, and this is a dangerous trip for Joseph and for Mary. This is way, way beyond their comfort zone, because in all probability, Joseph and Mary had lived in Nazareth their entire lives. And now they are having to go all the way to Bethlehem just because somebody sitting on a throne somewhere said, I want everybody to be counted. So Mary, 9 months pregnant, has to leave Nazareth and travel 70 miles to Bethlehem. Tell you what, that is not something that you want to do. I mean, when you're 9 months pregnant, you don't want to travel anywhere. Much less that kind of a trip. So Joseph and Mary are being stretched here, way outside of their comfort zone, and seemingly they're being pushed along by events outside of their control. Joseph and Mary had no say over when the census was going to happen and how it was going to happen. So seemingly, things are out of control, except the father of Mary's baby has it all completely under control. And I think that's something that we can take comfort in as we celebrate the birth of Jesus this year. We can be reminded that our Heavenly Father sits on His throne and he has it all under control. There's nothing that comes along that he does not orchestrate and work and use and plan for the good of his people. So if you're feeling stretched, feeling outside of your comfort zone, and maybe things are feeling a little bit chaotic with you right now, maybe when you sing Silent Night, you're like, I hope so. Listen, that's okay. That's okay, because our God is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings order out of chaos. He's the one who speaks into darkness and creates light. And he has it under control. So it was, in verse 6, that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I love that. Because see, God had a plan for Mary. And this stretch of the plan was stressful and hard and difficult for Mary. But it says, while they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Now, there's a reason they call birth delivery. Okay. It's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing. But then when it's over, there is deliverance from that hardship. And now there's a new life in the world. But I think we can apply it to our own lives. Got something that you're going through? Hang on. There are going to be days that are accomplished for you to be delivered from that. Okay? What did the angel had promised Mary. The angel had told Mary, you're going to have a son, you're going to call his name Jesus, he's going to be the Son of God, and God's going to give him the throne of his father David. The angel had promised her that. Elizabeth had told her, blessed is she who believed, because there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her. And when God has promised us something in his word, there might be a stretch of time where it just feels like it's just never going to happen and we're never going to get there. There's no way this can all come together. But hang on, hang in there, because the days will be accomplished for us to be delivered. God always keeps his word, and he always brings his people out of trial into a broad place. And the days were accomplished, were completed for Mary to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. God's word came true, because it always does. Can you imagine that moment when Jesus exits Mary's womb and takes his first breath on this earth? Can you imagine being Joseph? Think about that. I mean, here you are. You're helping your wife try to have a baby, all right? You're midwife and carpenter midwife. That's not the same job, okay? So Joseph is probably really freaking out. But at the same time, as soon as that takes place, imagine being Joseph. Imagine being Mary. And you hear that cry. And you realize that's God. This little tiny thing that I'm holding in my hands, of really afraid that I'm going to break it, is Almighty God. And I'm looking right into his eyes. And his little finger, his little hand is grabbing my finger. Listen, there is mystery here that we will never understand. But there's nothing more precious than the fact that God became man. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now that does not seem ideal. Really, when you think about it, that does not seem ideal. If you watch White Christmas, the word ideal gets used a lot. Ideal, absolutely ideal. But a manger for the Son of God doesn't seem ideal at all. The palace in Jerusalem would have seemed the place for him to be laid, but that's not how it happened. It's like this is what should be happening, but it's not happening. I mean, they didn't even have a room. Bethlehem was so crowded, they didn't even have a place to stay. They laid him in a manger. Job's is probably feeling like an epic failure right about now. I mean, he doesn't even have a cradle to lay the Son of God in. But this was the best he could do. It's all he could find that would work. So, if your Christmas this year does not seem ideal, you know, if everything is not just in the right place and everybody's not just exactly where they're supposed to be and the right songs haven't quite all been sung and the right gifts haven't all been gotten and you're not quite sure how the schedule's going to work out, take a moment, take a deep breath, and remember what the first one was like. Because the first one for Joseph and Mary was almost survival mode. I mean, they just laid their newborn baby in a feeding trough. I don't think that would pass any health inspections. But that was the only place they had to put him. But again, there was a reason behind that. Because in that moment, Almighty God is telling all of humanity that there is no place so low that you can go that I won't come after you. Feeding trough. God Almighty. The one, this is the verse, we had dinner at Connie's Friday night, a bunch of us did, and had a good time, and I was talking some with them, and the verse that has just blown up in my mind, every year seems like there's a different part of Christmas that gets me. And it honestly hadn't quite happened yet. Up until just a couple days ago, but I was driving back here from Manchester. I had my sister's birthday party and was on my way back, and stars were shining, and I had Christmas music going. And I think I was listening to Carol of the Bells by Point of Grace. And I was looking up at the stars, and the verse that came to my mind wasn't from Matthew or Luke at all. It was from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Where it says, he made the stars also. Just like, wow. That God who made the stars as an afterthought on day 4. And as James so aptly pointed out at the party, not only did he make them, he named them. That God came to a feeding trough. so we could know him. Let me tell you, I've been in the Christmas mood about ever since. And, you know, last night as we were caroling at the nursing home, you know, I was watching some of those folks, and you know, the one that seemed to just stand out maybe among the carols with so many of them was Away in a Manger. Do you notice that? They loved listening and singing Away in a Manger. Why? Because Jesus can relate to everybody. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky that he made looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And then the way it ends, be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. There's nothing that anybody goes through that Jesus doesn't understand it. Because this is how he started life on this earth. Away in a manger. Because there's no room for them in the inn. So even in Joseph's probably feeling like a failure, God's got it all together. So again, if you feel like, take a deep breath. God's got it all together. There was a reason Jesus had to be born in a manger. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds. That is not the high end of the social totem pole at all. Okay, shepherds are just right next to outcasts of society. Why? Well, because they live out in the fields. And if you live out in the fields, you smell like the field. And you smell like the sheep, and you smell like the campfire, and you smell like everything out there. And so when they came into town, but they were important. They were really important. These particular shepherds, as a matter of fact, are really important because Bethlehem was one of the main places that sheep were raised, that lambs were raised for sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that? Bethlehem was one of the main places that the lambs that were used for the sacrifices, which happened at least twice a day, a lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening, to cover the sins of the people. Bethlehem was one of the places that those lambs were taken from. So these shepherds were in the business of bringing lambs into the world that would be used to cover the sins of the people. And they're keeping watch over their flock by night. And why are they keeping watch? Because they're afraid. They're afraid that if they don't keep watch, wolves will eat them. Thieves will steal them. They will kill themselves because sheep are dumb and will kill themselves. They will. I mean, they really will. You know, sheep, if the flies get to buzz around their head, sheep will bang their head against a tree trying to get the flies to go away until they literally kill themselves. So they are keeping watch over their flock by night because they are afraid the sheep will kill themselves, the wolves will get the sheep, the thieves will get the sheep. There's a lot to be afraid of if you're a shepherd. So they stay right there. They stay close by all the time. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They're always living under some measure of fear, and now an angel shows up. Just one. Not the bunches of them yet. Just one. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Why would they be afraid? Because the glory of God is always frightening to sinful man. The holiness of God, when it is revealed, it always works in the sinful heart. I got to get away from that. I got to get as far away from that as I can, just as quick as I can, and stay away from it because that's scary. That's so far above me that I just want to run from that. The glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Fear not. Do not be afraid. It's always what God's angels say. I know we laugh and cut up about it sometimes, but I'm not so much laughing about it this morning. God's angels always say, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because they come from the throne of God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. It says, "Shepherds, I have some good news for you, which is more than you will find on CNN or Fox or CBS or ABC. I have good news for you. Good news of great joy." See, the entrance of the presence of God, the entrance of Jesus into any scenario is going to bring great joy. And if there's not joy in the Word of God, if there's not joy in the things of God, if there's not joy in our hearts towards God, then we need to ask the Spirit to work in us, because it's not, God's joy is not broken. There's something in our hearts that's amiss if the entrance of the presence of God does not bring great joy. This is good news of great joy, and I love this, which will be to all people. All people. And the word people, it literally means all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all tongues. And I was thinking about this morning, and you know, that's something as we look forward into 2020, a new decade. Can you believe that? Like, it's a new decade in the 21st century. How many of you ever thought we would never get to the 21st century? Okay? And now we are almost 20 years into this thing, okay? But as we begin a new year, a new decade, I was thinking about that, and that's one thing that I want to be sure that we as New Hope Church are constantly thinking about and constantly being able to put towards is good news of great joy to all people. And we need to be about being sure that the ends of the earth knows the name of Jesus. Because that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Until every nation hears, until every nation, tribe, and tongue has heard the gospel of the kingdom preached, He's not coming back. Let's get that job done. It's a job that's joyful, but it's a task, and we need to be about getting it done so that our King may return, not to a manger this time, but to the throne in Jerusalem. Oh, I look forward to that day. Oh, I look forward to that day. Good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you. Angel looks right at those shepherds and says, "There is born to you." He doesn't say, "There is born to Israel." He doesn't say, "There is born to the world." He says, "There is born to you." Why? Because Jesus is a personal Savior. We are not numbers on a spreadsheet to the Lord Almighty. He knows our name. He knows our situation. And each of us as individuals is more precious to Him than we could ever imagine. There is born to you this day in the city of David. I love it. Keeps coming back. He is the son of David. He is the rightful king and ruler of Israel. First time around, most people missed that. Let me tell you, second time around, there will be no missing it. In the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and this is why it had to happen. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. If Jesus had been born at the palace in Jerusalem, those shepherds couldn't have gotten to Him. There is no way, if this bunch of shepherds had gone and knocked on the door of the palace in Jerusalem and said, "Hey, some angels showed up and told us that the Savior had been born, and we'd like to see Him, please." Yeah, right. You are not coming in here. Go take a bath. Then come back with money, and we'll think about it. No, not the palace. The sign is that you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, in a feeding trough. Because the shepherds had access to that. They could go there. Jesus was available to the shepherds. He was available to them now and then, and He is available to us now. And suddenly, in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. A multitude of the heavenly host. How many? A few hundred? A few thousand? A couple million? I don't know. I'll tell you this. You can take it for what it's worth. But I got no reason to doubt it. I was talking to somebody a couple years ago, who said that they were in the midst of a Christmas worship session, and a couple of angels showed up, and they actually were able to converse with them a little bit. And somebody got the nerve up eventually to ask one of these angels, said, "Were you there?" And his response was, "We were all there." I'd never thought about it before. But why not? Where else do they have to be in that moment? Because their Maker has just made Himself completely vulnerable and come into a manger. So one, He's worthy of their worship. Two, the baby Jesus needs their protection. Silent night, holy night, that it was. But I tell you what else it was. War zone. Because we never see it. It's never mentioned in the actual Christmas passages in Scripture, but don't you know who else was there? Satan was there. His demons were there, probably most of them, because I dare say this whole concept took him by surprise at first. He wasn't looking for this, but once he figured out what was going on, priority number one, eliminate that baby. You know it. And we do see it later on when Herod tries to kill Jesus and kills all the children in Bethlehem. But don't you know, from that night, Satan was trying to wipe that child off the face of the earth. And I don't think he even knew what all the details were, but he just knew, this is bad news. I've got to get rid of this kid. All the angels were there, all right. Say, half of them were singing, and half of them were standing guard. But they were there. And praise God, he's God, and Satan's not. And we know whose side we're on. And he wins. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Don't you just imagine this every Christmas Eve? I do. Go outside sometime on Christmas Eve. Please do. It's amazing. Hopefully the stars are shining. And again, hopefully it's snowing, right? But anyway, when the stars are shining, you go up on Christmas Eve, and you're looking at that sky, and just imagine that dark sky, and all of a sudden it is full of light that's brighter than that. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. First things first, glory to God in the highest, because he's the one who is working all this out. He's the one who has humbled himself to come to that feeding trough to save sinful man from himself and from the enemy. Glory to God in the highest. He's the only one who could have come up with this plan, and he's the only one who could execute it. Glory to God in the highest. But the result of God receiving glory, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You could read that, if you go back into the Greek and dig a little bit, you could read it, peace toward men of goodwill. Because what did Jesus say later on? He said, don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus brings peace to everyone who trusts in him, everyone who surrenders to him. But listen, for those who do not trust in him, for those who do not surrender to him, there is no peace in this life or in the next. Peace on earth is only for those who trust in Jesus. And then no matter what else is going on earth, the people of God can always have peace on earth. And eventually, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will return and he will bring peace on earth. Oh God, come Lord Jesus. Let it be. Oh, let it be. That's why I love it came upon the midnight clear. I just love the last verse of that. It says, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song that now the angels sing. Peace on earth towards those who are of goodwill, those who trust in God, because God is receiving glory, because he is worthy. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Angels everywhere. And all of a sudden, they're gone. Right back to what it looked like before, except it didn't feel the same way. Because now, all of a sudden, look at the shepherds. They say, just as soon as the angels disappear, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It does not say that they came with haste and left a few behind to make sure the sheep would be okay. No. Why? Because their perspective had changed. They were out there with the sheep because they were afraid. but they are not afraid anymore because they have seen the presence and the power of God, and they have been told by God through the angel, do not be afraid. And they had seen what God had all around them. So all of a sudden, they realize that their sheep are in really good hands. Way better than anything they could ever do. And so they got no problem now leaving those sheep and heading straight to Bethlehem to find Jesus. That's what happens in anybody's life when there is a revelation of the presence and power of God. Fear is replaced by faith. And faith that is based on the Word of God leads to action. The shepherds, when the angels disappeared, shepherds didn't look around and say, man, that's great. I'm so glad the Savior's been born. We'll go check on that in the morning. Oh, no. No, no, no. They left right then with haste. They left. They acted on what God had told them. And see, when faith becomes real in our hearts, when we really believe what is in that book, we act on it. And we act on it right then. And that is when we see God fulfill His word. They left the sheep because they weren't afraid anymore because God was taking care of the sheep. They came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What God had promised them happened. And what God promises us in His word happens every time if we will believe and act on it. Now, when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told everybody in town, everybody who would stop and listen for a second to these crazy shepherds, they told them the Savior had been born. And he's right over there. And the angels told us this. And they must have sounded like lunatics. Think about it. Everybody's in town for the census. Worn out, tired, broke, hungry, cranky. And here come these crazy shepherds. The Savior's been born. The Savior's been born. The Savior. We saw angels. They talked to us. They sang. They told us where to find this baby. And he's right over there. He's swaddling clothes. The baby laying in the manger. Sounds crazy. God's word always sounds crazy to the world. Always does. But for those who will take the time to listen and go look, they'll find that actually it's the other way around. It's the world that's gone crazy. And it's only God's word that makes any sense. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But apparently nobody decided that it was interesting enough to go check out. They marveled. So, that's cool. Wow, that's really, I gotta get out of here. These people are nuts. They marveled at the shepherds. But they didn't act. They heard, and they said, oh, that's neat. But they didn't act on it because there wasn't faith there. There was a hearing, but there wasn't a reaction in their heart that believed what they heard and acted on it. And therefore, everybody in town except the shepherds apparently missed out on being at the birthday party. Oh, we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. When God speaks to us through His Word and by His Spirit, we don't want to just marvel. We want to act. We want to believe. Belief that brings action. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Think about that. Here's this little girl, 14, 15, 16. 16 is probably upper end of that scale. And she has just brought the Savior of the world into the world. And she's now holding Him. And she and Joseph are in awe of, wow, baby. And then, wait, God's baby. The emotions that are going back and forth, none of us will ever understand, I don't guess. And then in the midst of that, all these shepherds show up with this story of angels, which Joseph and Mary didn't think was crazy because they'd seen angels themselves. They'd had messages from angels themselves. And again, that's the thing. We need to find people that are the same kind of crazy as we are. You know? If God has revealed Himself to you and someone shows up and they're talking the same kind of crazy as you, then latch on to them. Latch on to them and hang on. Because when God's worked something in you and you hear that same kind of talk coming out of somebody else's mouth and spewing out of their heart, then that's somebody that you need to have fellowship with. Shepherds didn't sound crazy to Joseph and to Mary. Sound like, yeah, tell us about it. Hallelujah. Needs to be more of that going on. Mary kept all these things and pondered them. She thought about them. She rolled them over and over in her heart and in her mind. What does all this mean? What is happening? What is going on? Mary pondered upon the Word of God and the results that it had brought in the living Word being right on her lap. And in all probability, the reason that we even have the Christmas story to read is because Mary pondered these things in her heart. Because it's very likely that the reason we have Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, is because Luke talked to Mary. That most scholars and experts and those who study a lot deeper than I do will tell you that it's really likely that Luke talked to Mary in putting together this account for us. Do we do this? When God does something in our lives, do we ponder on it? Do we write it down? Do we keep it fresh in our hearts and our minds? Do we roll it over and over again? Do we share it with those around us and share it with those coming after us? See, this is so important. It's if God does something awesome in us, and that's as far as it goes, we missed it. We missed it. When God does something awesome in us, we have to be able to ponder it enough so that the Spirit can help us know how to pass it on to somebody else. Mary pondered all these things, and in the midst of everything that was going on, she took time to think about it and dwell on it and meditate on it. And in the midst of all the craziness that we go through, especially this time of year, but every time of year, because it's the 21st century and things are crazy. But in the midst of all the craziness, we need to take time to ponder the Word of God. Take time to read it. Take time to roll it over in our minds. Take time to remember what God has done and write those things down and pass them on to other people, especially kids. Tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them until you think they're sick of hearing about it. Because they're not getting it anywhere else. And we'll be glad we did. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Shepherds had to go back to tending their sheep. You know, God will show up and he'll do an incredible thing. You'll be right in the middle of a massive moment and move of God. And really, all you want to do is just stay there. You just want to camp right there. I don't want to go anywhere else. Let's just stay right here. Let's just stay in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. The problem is, we're not home yet. And thank the Lord, he gives us those moments where we're in his presence and it's sweet and it's overwhelming and it's awesome and it's beautiful. And then it's time to go take care of sheep again. Because we all live on this earth. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And we have to be able to take what God has done in our hearts and plug it right back into what we do every day. The shepherds returned, but they returned differently. They returned praising and glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. They were never the same. They never got over it. I bet you couldn't talk to one of those shepherds again from then until the day they died that they didn't want to tell you about that night and what God did. And we need to be that way. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus. Savior, Shepherd, Lord, King. Yahweh saves. Yahweh runs to save. Jesus. It's no accident. It's no accident that it was shepherds that got the news. Shepherds are they're close to the soil, they're close to God's creation. And it's a humble thing. But it seems like God has had this thing with shepherds from the very beginning of time, almost. Think about it. What did Jacob do? He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. What for years he was a shepherd. What did Moses do for 40 years after he ran away from Pharaoh? He was a shepherd. What was David before he was king? He was a shepherd. Because when you're out there in the wilderness with sheep, you get to know the one who made it all really well. It's a good place to be. Something that we should keep in mind. In the hustle and bustle of the world, take time to go outside. Take time to go outside and remember the one who made it all. Because his name, the one who made it all, his name is Jesus, and he is the Prince of Peace, and he is who Christmas is all about, and he is the one that we all need, and he's available to us